No self-confidence. That's good. You don't hear that too often. When you listen to the teachings of the world and the principles that we live by in this world, you would never hear that. You hear the opposite of that. No self-confidence. That's good. Well, let's look at God's word a little bit. Let's see what he's saying on this topic here. And when we speak of self-confidence, self is really the flesh. That's another way to put it. That's the way the scripture describes it a lot. Yourself, or your ways, your thoughts, it really boils down to the flesh. That's another good word for yourself. And so when we say living in the flesh, we're talking about living on your own, just following your own desires, your own natural way. Some people call it human nature. God's word calls it our sinful nature, the flesh. It's ourself. And the Apostle Paul had every reason to be self-confident. He had it going on for himself. He had everything, all the achievements that he would need in his culture and with his group of friends and the circles he was living in that day. He had it going on. He had every reason to have self-confidence. But he says some different things about all that. And of course, it's really God saying some different things about God. Just used the Apostle Paul to pen his word. But let's look at it together in Philippians chapter 3. Let's look at these first 11 verses together. And if you're new at this, there should be a Bible near you in the chair. Just get that Bible and open up. And the last third of your Bible is the New Testament, the last third or so. And as you open that last third, you'll start to see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just keep on going and go past the Corinthians first and second. And then just remember, go eat popcorn. And you'll get to these little epistles, these little letters, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Look at Philippians 3. Let's read these first 11 verses together. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. No self-confidence. Well, that's good, according to what we've just read so far here. No self-confidence. That's good. First of all, let's notice here as the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the believers at Philippi. And he says in this first verse here, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you." So notice the first thing he tells them to do. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And then he mentions a little bit later, that's a safeguard for you. Rejoice in the Lord. And notice in the next chapter, so God's telling us here, when Scripture speaks, God speaks. When the Apostle Paul writes this to the church, this is God's word. And so when Scripture speaks, God speaks. So if Scripture says, rejoice in the Lord, that's God saying to you, rejoice in the Lord. And so God tells us to do this. Rejoice in the Lord. And just look at the next chapter in verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, my brothers, whom I know and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." I'm sorry. Skip over to verse 4. 4:4 is what I meant to say. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice." You think God wants us to rejoice in the Lord? Repetition means importance. He just tells us in this first verse in chapter 3, rejoice in the Lord. And then in 4:4, a few more times with exclamation point, rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Notice, when do we rejoice in the Lord? God's telling us to rejoice in the Lord. When? When should I rejoice in the Lord? I already heard some people say it. Always. Always. Well, that includes everything. At all time. So there's never a time that you're here on the earth that you should not be rejoicing in the Lord. That's God's instruction. God says, rejoice in the Lord always. And you say, well, that's good for until my troubles hit and my life is a wreck and everything around me is falling apart. I can do it up until that point. But does God say, rejoice in the Lord always, except when a lot of big trials hit you? Then, step back and no, he said, always. That's God's instruction. That's his command. And you see, when we do it, even in those hard times, in those tough times, what did he say in verse 1, it's a safeguard for you. You see, we get real tempted at the bad times in life not to be rejoicing in the Lord. And then we miss out on this safeguard that God has for us here. But God says, always, rejoice in the Lord, always. How do you do that? Well, I'll never forget when God really communicated to me how important this was and how he blesses you through it. One time I was having a terrible day. I used to work for this company called Alabama Medical when I finished college at Auburn. Anyway, it used to be real close to Baptist South. I used to do a lot of drive, and I would deliver medical supplies in a lot of places. I remember one time just driving down the Southern Boulevard on my way somewhere, and I had just been having a terrible day. And everything was horrible, and that's how I felt. Life was just falling apart, the worst possible day, something hit me. I can't remember. I was listening to Faith Radio a lot back then, 89.1 FM. So I can't remember if it was something on the radio or if the Lord just put it in my heart and told me to do this. But I'm having an awful day, and somehow I get that message from the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. You know, praise the Lord. And boy, that's the time. That's the last thing in the world you want to do when everything's falling apart. But I decided, well, God, you command me to do it at all times. I don't feel like it, but I'll obey you. So I'll just start trying to praise you and rejoice in you. And so I thought about the alphabet. So I started A, you know, and you can go through the alphabet and think of ways to rejoice in the Lord or praise him. So I think I went with the alphabet and I just started praising. And you know what? It was not long at all. And this is why I'm telling you this story. How God totally changed my heart and my perspective. As I began to obey him and rejoice in him, even in that terrible day, I began to be uplifted and get my focus on Him. And then my problems weren't so bad. And I was focused on Him who never changes. Jesus Christ, who is God, He's God in the flesh. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God will never change. So you can always rejoice in Him, no matter what your circumstances are like, no matter how bad your health is, or the cancer is, or the death of this one is, or whatever it is, He never changes. You can always rejoice in Him. And that's His command, always. So rejoice in the Lord. Next, he says, notice this. Look at the second part of verse 1 and then verse 2. It says this, "It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh." Well, notice from that verse that we need to watch out for living in the flesh. We need to watch out. Watch out. Keep guard. Be careful. Watch out for living in the flesh. You see, that's what these people were doing. Now, he's warning the believers right here to watch out for this group. This group that was believing false doctrine and wrong things. And they were believing that you had to be circumcised to be saved. You know, that was a part of being justified, of God thinking everything's okay. You got to be circumcised and other legalistic things in the law. And so they had this false teaching, and that was a false gospel, because the truth is, God says it's your faith in Christ, it's your faith in Jesus that justifies you, not any observance of the laws or doing physical things and things in the flesh that you can do. And so he says here to them, watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh, the ones who are so bent on circumcision in the flesh. Watch out. Watch out for them. Well, we need to watch out. We don't need to be like them. Those men were living in the flesh. They were using their own human effort to try to gain God's approval, to make God fine with them, trying to do it through human effort and physical things and observing certain laws and rules. And he tells them to watch out for them, period. But we here today, we need to watch out not to be like them at all. And so watch out for living in the flesh. Watch out. You yourself, me, watch out for living in your flesh. Well, how do you know? You ask. Well, how do I know if I'm not being like these guys? How do I know if I'm living in the flesh or not? How do you watch out? What does it look like? How do I know if I'm living in the flesh? Well, check your fruit. Check your fruit. God says in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So if you want to know if you're living in the flesh, just do a fruit check. The fruit of the Spirit, what the Spirit produces in your, when you're living by the Spirit and you're walking by the Spirit, that's what your life will look like. That's what you'll have. You'll have those fruits: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You'll have those. So do a fruit check. If you want to know if you're living in the flesh or not, like these guys were, just do a fruit. Look at your life. Step back for a moment. Get before the Lord and say, God, do I have love right now? Or in any given moment, in a situation that you're in, or in a conversation that you're in, you can do a fruit check in your own mind while you're talking with somebody. But examine yourself and say, am I bearing this fruit right now? Do I have love right now? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And notice it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So you'll have all those. When you're trusting in the Lord, That's the fruit of the Spirit. Those things will be evident. So do a fruit check if you want to know if you're living in the flesh. And if you don't see fruit, if you don't see the fruit of the Spirit, then you know, oh man, I'm supposed to watch out for this. I'm living in the flesh. And then what do you do? So what do you do if you realize, man, I'm living in the flesh right now. I'm not showing the fruits of the Spirit. Well, go back to that safeguard. Go back to that safeguard again that'll protect you. And start rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. If you're rejoicing in the Lord, you won't be living in the flesh at that given moment. And next we see, live by the Spirit. And so far we've got rejoice in the Lord, watch out for living in the flesh. Next, live by the Spirit. Look at verse 3. Not only are we to watch out for living in the flesh, but we are to live by the Spirit. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. You know, at first he's talking about these other men. They live in the flesh, and they're saying all these wrong teachings and things. And he says, but it is we who are the circumcision. We're truly the ones that are circumcised in Christ. It's a spiritual thing where God has taken off the old flesh and given a new spirit. We're the ones, the true circumcision. We're the ones who are the circumcision. We who worship by the Spirit of God. And some translations say serve by the Spirit of God. Who glory in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh. Well, that's how to live by the Spirit. Do those things listed in verse 3 there. Worship, serve by the Spirit. Not in your own flesh, not in your own trying. Oh, I'm trying to serve the Lord. I'm trying to worship the Lord. No, by His Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We who glory in Christ Jesus. What are you doing? Rejoice in the Lord. It's a safeguard for you. Glory in Christ Jesus. Keep your focus on Him. Live by the Spirit. Worship and serve by the Spirit of God. Not in your own way, in your own trying, in your own human effort, but by the Spirit. He's in you. The Spirit who is in you. Worship and serve by the Spirit of God. Glory in Christ Jesus. It's kind of like this boy that I saw in the Publix parking lot the other day. He and his mom were walking out, and he was ahead of her, and she was pushing the buggy, and they were walking to the car, and then I was watching them sitting there walking together about the same speed, and then all of a sudden, he just did that, and then he just glided across that parking lot, and he made a lot more progress than she did. And then he'd stop, and she'd have to catch up with that buggy. And then he'd do like that again, and he'd glide across that parking lot, just nice and easy, soaring across that parking lot. And you say, what in the world? Well, he had those tennis shoes on where you can press the button and the skates come out, the wheels come out of the bottom of the tennis shoes. So he's just gliding along, and he just glides to the car. Well, that's what we're talking about here. That's what it is to live by the Spirit. To live by the flesh is to have a big buggy in front of you, a big burden, and you're just pushing and pushing, and it takes you a long time to get there, and it's agonizing. And living by the Spirit, how God wants us to, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, that's like the boy. You just glide. It's what we were talking about earlier. Soar on wings like eagles. It's those who trust in the Lord, live by the Spirit, look expectantly to the Lord. It's all the same thing. It's living by the Spirit. Well, that's what God is telling us to do here. God commands us to live this way. In Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit. That means to let the Spirit be in control. Just be gliding, be soaring in the Christian life. And God says, be filled. And that means, the Greek word means be filled and keep on being filled. There should never be a time that you're not filled with the Spirit. That's why we need to check that fruit and say, oh man, I'm living in the flesh. Let me get back in the Spirit, confess my sins, and surrender to the Lord. Let the Spirit take control. Let God be in control of my life. Be filled with the Spirit. It's the same as Jesus saying, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. the fruit of the Spirit. Well, what's your job? To remain in Him. It's all the same thing. Trust in Him. Wait upon Him. Look expectantly to Him. Remain in Him. Stay in Him. Abide in Him. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. It's all trusting in Jesus. That's how you soar. And He said, if you remain in Me, like a vine remains like a branch remains in a vine, if you just do your part, remain, stay in Me, trust in Me, you'll bear Much fruit. You'll just be gliding along. I'll produce the fruit. God will produce the fruit. That's His fruit, not yours. You just stay connected. You stay trusting in Him. You stay living by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. That's pushing the buggy. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's soaring on the skates. Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. But those who hope in the Lord or wait upon the Lord, they'll renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. There it is. Live by the Spirit. So, no self-confidence, that's good. If you've got no self-confidence, that's good. Rejoice in the Lord. Watch out for living in the flesh. Live by the Spirit. And put no confidence in the flesh. This is what we see in the second part of verse 3 through 6. Put no confidence in the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. Now, the Apostle Paul is saying, nobody has more reasons, no reasons to put confidence in the flesh than me. Paul says, if you want to see everything I've got in that humans can offer, my human goodness and my human effort and my trying and everything I've worked for all my life, if you want to see all that, nobody's got more than me. I've achieved everything. I've got it all laid out for you. And He lays it out for us. But He says, I put no confidence in the flesh. If anyone else, second part of verse 4, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. And then he goes into his pedigree here. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. All these things are extremely valuable, that were extremely valuable and great achievements back then. A Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, I'm faultless. Okay, so he's got it going on. If the flesh meant anything, or if what you could achieve by yourself meant anything, he's got it. But you know what? He goes to the opposite extreme and he says, everything I did consider profit, all those things that you can achieve in your humanness that I consider profit, now that I know Christ, I consider it all a loss for the sake of knowing Him. It's way better to know Him. And all this stuff was me. You know, all that really matters, I realize now, is Him and my faith in Him and what He does in me and through me, not what I can do for Him. What He does through me, that's all that matters. That's all that counts. The rest is a loss. He even says the rest of it is like garbage, some translations say. Mine says rubbish. He says, verse 8, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. He said, I don't care about any of that stuff I've achieved. That was me. I forget it. I turn from it all. All I care about is Christ. I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish. Anything that's from you, from human effort, it's trash. It's refuse. It's rubbish. As a matter of fact, it's really nasty in God's sight. God says in Isaiah that your best works are like filthy rags in His sight. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about. I consider it garbage, refuse. All my human effort, my trying, me, trying to please the Lord, it's nasty. That our best works are like filthy rags in God's sight, it says in Isaiah. All that matters is faith in Christ, what He does, the work He does, what He does in you and through you. Everything is a loss. That's our next point. Everything is a loss compared to Christ. Everything is a loss compared to Christ. We see that in verses 7 through 9. And when you start naming your achievements, and what you're good at and the things you've done, etc., I'm a self-made man, or if you shout with Sinatra, I did it my way, all these things, you may be tempted to trust in those things. And they don't count for anything. They're trash, they're refuge, they're rubbish. What counts is what He has done through you and what your faith in Him. And the works that are produced by faith. When you put your faith in Him and through faith, when you live by faith and you live by the Spirit and what He does in you and through you, that's what matters. That's what you'll be rewarded for. Everything is a loss compared to Christ. We see that in 7 through 9. The good things, even the good things that you do and that you've done. But whatever was to my profit, in verse 7, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. Verse 8, it talks about nothing compares to knowing Him. Nothing compares to knowing that it is Him working through you. Watching Him work through you. Nothing compares to that. And in the second part of verse 8. And then in verse 9. Don't want a righteousness of your own. That's what he's saying in verse 9. I have, backing up a little bit from it, I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. He didn't want a righteousness of his own, and I hope you don't. You and I don't desire a righteousness of your own. That's the garbage, that's the refuse. Don't desire a righteousness of your own, but desire the righteousness that comes from God. And how do we receive God's righteousness, Almighty God's perfect, flawless righteousness? How do we receive that? By faith in Christ. By faith in Him. That's the righteousness that comes by faith in Christ. So finally, what's our answer to all of this? No self-confidence. That's good. What do you mean? Well, rejoice in the Lord. Watch out for living in the flesh. Live by the Spirit. Put no confidence in the flesh. Everything is a loss compared to Christ. And finally, have confidence in Christ. Not self. Not the flesh. Not self-confidence. Have confidence in Christ. Not self. Know Him. That's what it's all about. Look at verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Know the power of His resurrection. Desire that. Have Christ confidence, not self-confidence. Put your confidence in Him, not yourself. Turn away from yourself. That's repentance. And put your faith in Him. Stop trying and start trusting. And have a fellowship, desire a fellowship of sharing with Him in His sufferings. Erskine Sankey's doing such a good job of that right now. As he just lost his leg and he's been visiting our church here. And as every time I've seen him in the hospital, he just has that spirit about him. Even though he's got to go through, he's just praising the Lord. Focusing on the Lord. Go see Him. You'll catch that joy. And somehow, and it's amazing how God does it, you attain the resurrection by faith. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for these things. And Lord, teach us, help us. Lord, show us how to do all of this, Lord. Lord, help us not to have self-confidence, Lord. Help us to have Christ confidence. Help us to put all our confidence in You and trust in You. And then soar, Lord. Live by the Spirit. Let us turn away from ourselves. And Lord, point it out to us. Wake us up. Lord, show us when we're living by the flesh and we're not bearing fruit. Bring us back. Let us trust in You again so we'll bear Your fruit. May we know You better. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Chris is going to lead us in a a final song. And this is an invitation time. So as Chris leads us, you begin to pray. And you ask the Lord, if you've never received Jesus, if you walked out of here and something happened to you and you died and you end up dying today, if you're not 100% sure you'd be in heaven and you have a relationship with Christ and you know that you've put that faith in Him, then get that right. As Chris leads us in this song, just put your faith in Christ. Turn from yourself. Say, I could never get to heaven. Thank you for dying for me on that cross and being raised from the dead. And I put all my faith in you, Jesus, to get me to heaven. I trust in you to get me there. I turn from myself, my sin, and I turn to you and I call on you. Save me, Jesus. Come into my life. You do that as Chris leads us in this song. If you're not 100% sure that you'll be in heaven when your time comes, and you can do that. And then come and share that. Maybe God's speaking something else to you, dealing with you about something else. Maybe something that was mentioned. Maybe He spoke something to your heart. Deal with that. Pray about that. And commit to follow Him the way He wants you to. Maybe you need to recommit your life to Him. Come and walk down that aisle and express that. We'll rejoice with you in that. Maybe you need to join this church. Maybe you're realizing God's calling you to join this church. And whatever He's calling you to, as Chris leads us in this song, you make those decisions and share that. And if you don't come right now, then come after the service. If something's going on and you don't feel like you can come, don't just go home with it when God has done something in your heart. Even after the service, it's not too late. Come and share. Share with me. I'd like to talk with you about that and pray with you. But Chris, you lead us and you do whatever the Lord tells you to.